I'm going to try to talk to you this morning about prayer. And there's two model prayers in the Bible. One in Matthew, one in Luke chapter 11, Matthew 6 and Luke 11. We'll touch on some of those as we go through these, but I want to begin in Luke chapter 11, and if you have your scriptures, you can look there with me. He says, it came to pass that as he was praying, this important point, that if Jesus thought it was needful to pray, how should we feel? You see, he was the very Son of God, but he was also a man. And he was in continual communication with his Father. But he says, as he was praying, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. I think it's interesting that the request is, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't find anywhere in the scripture where the Lord said, or somebody prayed, Lord, teach me how to preach. But I've worked on some of our brethren, that some of them that would not offer public prayer. Public prayer is very optional. Public prayer is, and there is some public prayers in the scriptures, but prayer, and we'll get into that in a little while, but prayer is a private thing. It's something between you and God. It goes like this, and it goes from you up to him and then back down. Sometimes when I pray, I stumble. Sometimes I don't know how to pray or what to pray for. But prayer is a communication of your spirit. What comes out through your mouth is that which is in your heart. And as we look in as what Jesus taught, he said unto them, when you pray. Now, it did not say that this is that we need to use, and when we pray, and I appreciate Brother Lindell, he said he addressed his prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. That's very proper. But this is a model prayer. All of the elements that's in this prayer and the one we'll talk about in Matthew chapter 6, they're elements that are set forth that we as God's people should communicate. All of our prayers should have some of these characteristics in them. Okay, he says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. That is absolutely awesome that God gives you the privilege of addressing the Heavenly Father. And notice Jesus said, he didn't say my Father, but he said our Father. What is that? I mean, the pronouns, the little bitty words in here, Brother Tom, are sometimes read over. He says our Father. That gives you the idea that Jesus and you, or Jesus and me, Jesus and I have the same Father. Say our Father. Or when we pray in here, and I appreciate Brother Tom picks that song just about every time. Was it 402? 404. I want to think about this. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you? I mean, there's a question. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Did you ask God's prayer? Did you pray for guidance? Did you pray? You know, every time that I remember this one of the songs that the Kyles sang. I think it's Terry. He says, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." I mean, if we would really understand how dependent we are upon our Heavenly Father, perhaps we would approach him more often. You say, when we have the problems in our lives, and I was sitting here this morning thinking about this, and then I thought, we should be talking about prayer, because this is what we're supposed to be doing during this season. You know, people, they say, well, this is prayer season. You know, every day, every single day is a time of prayer. But this is, I always remember, and I'm going to get back to your song in a minute, Brother Tom. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Everything. And so I don't want to bother the Lord with my little problems. I'm telling you something. There's no problem too big for God to handle, and if it's bothering you, it's worth praying about. You know? And he goes on and he says, do you have any trials or temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should not be discouraged. We sang that song, Brother Evans. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and all my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. We should never be discouraged, but we are sometimes. You know what discouragement is? I mean, it's when you're discouraged, we're thinking, preachers get discouraged too. I want you to know that. Probably a lot more than you than I want to admit. But the answer is not in, I get discouraged and I'll call Brother Tom or one of these other brethren and kind of talk things over. But you know, the one I really need to be talking to is the Lord. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Did you understand that Jesus knows our thoughts and our intents of our heart? He knows everything that we do. He knows everything we say and everywhere we go. You remember that when we did this, Brother Tom, we have these three deacons. They do this, they do this, and they do this. It says, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. But you see, God sees all of it. And that's why it's important that we go to him daily, saying, Father, I've sinned today. Would you forgive me today? Today. Not tomorrow. And we'll get into that in a little bit too. But it says, are we weak and heavy laden? This is a quote from Matthew chapter 11. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your soul. Not rest for your body. We need rest for our souls. And he says, are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? You know, we say, be careful. You know, that's really, Brother Tom, it says, that means be full of care. Now, Jesus says, don't be anxious. That's what the word really, we should be thinking. Don't be anxious about things. Of course, we care about things. But it says, precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise or forsake you? I've had some friends that, you know, there's sometimes what we call fair weather friends. You ever have one of those, Brother Mick? It's just a friend to you, unless you really need him. But a real friend is a friend in time of need. I mean, I believe that I have friends in this church and other places. I call them up any time I want to, or any time during the day or night. And if I really had a real need, they'd be there. Let me tell you about a friend. You know, it said, there is a friend that sticks closer. We're close. But we have a friend that's closer than any of you can be. Because I can call on him 24/7. You see, Jesus is right there.
He's just prayer away.
Jesus knows everything about us. But he says, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms. I feel such a need for the Lord. And I just like to, would you just like to hug him a little bit? And have him put his arms around you and say, it's okay, son. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. That means there's a comfort. And just know, I mean, you know, there's nothing really magic to somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus. But there's power in just saying, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, help me. There's comfort just in his name. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised that thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, brighten, can't hardly read through tears. There will be no need for prayer. You know, we won't need prayer up in heaven. We'll have him right there with us. But right now, we need him because we're not there yet. You see? Soon in glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Raptured praise and endless worship will be our solace there. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide today? When your heart was filled with anger, boy, did you think to pray? I hope nobody's like has the same problem I do, but I have an issue sometimes with my old man. But you know what? When you hold bitterness against somebody else, it's not hurting them one bit, because they don't even probably don't know it or don't even care. But when you're having bitterness and anger issues with something, and it's taking the peace that belongs to you away. So if you have anger, take it to the Lord in prayer. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow? You know what, Gilead? We sing the song, there's balm in Gilead that cures the sin-sick soul. Gilead, it's a place over it was right on the tip of my tongue. I'll get it. Anyway, it's an extract from a tree, and they used it for medicine. And they put it on. Balm of Gilead is balm for your soul. How could you put balm on your soul? You ever put balm? Yeah, balm, not bomb, but balm. That's a salve. Balm of Gilead did you borrow? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Now we go back to Luke 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed, it comes from the same word as holy. It means sanctified. It's a name above all other names. Jehovah God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We should always, when we pray, we need to recognize that we're addressing the creator of this universe. The one that gives us the privilege of calling upon him. Our Father, how holy and reverend is your name. You know, it says in Psalms 111, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The word reverence in the Bible one time, right there. And I do not believe that it is proper for somebody, a man, a preacher especially, to take the name that belongs only to God and put it on me. The word is in the Bible one time, and it's talking about God. Holy and reverend is his name. His name is a name above all other names. I'm not reverend. That means I'm holy. Well, I am holy because of what God has done for me. And he's called me. I believe that he's demonstrated to me from time to time that he's actually called me to this work. But I'm not a holy person. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. So his name is Reverend. Thy kingdom come. I want you to think about, we're going to get over into Matthew 6 in a little bit, but I want us to think about this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. When we pray that prayer, and I want to get the words of Matthew 6 right quickly. It starts with verse 9. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that, and if you have other versions of the Bible, that's okay. I'm not arguing with those. But if you'll find those versions, you'll find that they change the word in to on. Our Father which art on earth. Thy will be done on earth. Well, I believe the translators got it right. Now you can look up the word and there's all kinds of, you know what I mean? If you look up the, it's a preposition, which is used before noun, but on something or in something. Do you know the difference between being in the house and on the house? Is there a difference if God had said, to Noah, go on the ark. He didn't say that. He said, Noah, come in the ark. I believe that the translators knew the difference between on and in. You say, well, it doesn't matter. It means on earth. It really means on earth. I think it means what it says. And I'm going to use it for that in that way. I believe it means, and when we pray this prayer, pray it like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me. In me. As it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. I believe that when we pray this prayer, we're praying that God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want your kingdom to come to me in reality and come to me in such a way. You know what? The kingdom of heaven, we've talked about this before, but the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When we pray, Father, thy will be done in earth, thy kingdom come to me. Do you want to be in the kingdom? Do you want to be in the fellowship of God and have his sweetness in your life? I do. So we pray, Father, thy will be done in this earthen vessel, just like it is in heaven. Doesn't that make a lot of sense to say? But his will is going to be done on earth. If we change the word to on, his will, when we pray, Father, thy will be done on earth. It's not on earth, it's in earth. And his will be done on earth. But is his will done in your life? You see, every time we pray, it takes a lot sometimes when we want something really, really bad. Especially if we have somebody that's really sick, and we love them so much, and we want them to be healed. But you know, when we pray for that person, we should say, Father, if it be thy will, we pray that this person will be made well. But if not, and I've heard Brother Tom pray this, help us to be reconciled to thy will. Now, I want to switch back and forth because and I've said this several times, when there's more than one account in the Gospels, you need to read both of them, or read all of them. And in Luke, it says, give us this day our daily bread. In Matthew, it says, give us this day our daily bread. But notice it says in the next one, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. And Luke stops there. But Matthew goes on. Forgive us. In Matthew, instead of the word sins, he uses the word debts. Do you owe anything? I mean, all of us, just about all of us owe something. I mean, we got all these bills to pay, and the collectors sometimes are after us. But it says, forgive us our debts. You owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. You're indebted, not to me, not to the church, but to the Lord. You see, he paid our sin debt. He bore every sin we could ever possibly in the past, the present, and the future. Every one of our sins has been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here that doesn't believe that Jesus paid your debt? If he paid your debt, and by the way, you don't owe it because he paid it. But we owe him our gratitude, our love, our thankfulness. Everything is owed to us, to him. So he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, the scripture says that Jesus doesn't tempt anybody. I mean, God doesn't tempt you. When you're tempted of your own self, your own lust. But what we're to pray is, Father, lead me away from that temptation. Deliver me from that so that I don't go there. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But he goes on and he says, deliver us from evil. You know, there's everywhere we look outside here. Everywhere. And that's what Sister Heather was praying. It's literally evil. Evil personified. When those people had rather, they have their religion that they think it's their responsibility to kill people that don't believe just like they do. There's no Christians in Saudi Arabia, I heard. You know why? They killed them all. It's evil. But there's evil all around. And he says that we are to pray, Father, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from that evil. Now notice this. For thine is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. You know there's only one king? And what kind of a kingdom? I mean, here's a king, and if he doesn't have a kingdom, what kind of king is he? He said, thy kingdom, it's your kingdom, and it's your power, and it's your glory forever. Thy power, thy glory forever. Now, Jesus doesn't stop there. If you know, you can read on. But notice what he's... How important is forgiveness? I'm going to get a little sticky here. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses. Okay, there's somebody that has done something to you and you just can't get over it. I got four fingers pointing back at me. You have somebody that you're holding a grudge against. Somebody that has really, really messed up and you don't like it. What we're to do, I'm preaching to myself this morning. For if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, how important is that? You pray, Father, forgive me my sins. But if you have something against somebody else that you're not willing to forgive, he says, forget praying to me. That's pretty hard, isn't it? But you know what he says in Matthew 5? He said, if you come to your altar, your prayer altar here, you come to, and you're sitting there and you're praying at your altar and you say, oh yeah, Brother Lindell and I had a dispute. And he really hurt. He really messed me up. You know what it says for me to do, Brother Lindell? Leave it right there and I go to you. I don't go tell anybody else about this. But I go to Brother Lindell and I said, Brother Lindell, we had this issue. Will you forgive me? And if he's in the same spirit that I'm in, we're going to hug and we're going to say, all is well, brother. You see, God doesn't leave us any outs on this. Matthew chapter 18 takes care of this very well. I'm not gonna go there, but you know, I think you probably, but I want you to see how important this is if you have something in your heart that is bothering you and you just can't seem to let it go, it's going to rob you of your peace. Give it to Jesus. He said, take your burdens to the Lord and what? Pick them up and take them back with you? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them at the altar. But if you have something against your brother, Jesus says, if you don't forgive him, I'm not going to forgive you. That doesn't mean you're going to go to the place of woe. Doesn't mean you're not going to be a child of God. But it means if you want to enter into the kingdom of God and have righteousness and peace and joy in your soul, then you need to let go. You need to pray. And I'm working on this. I am. Bitterness will rob you of your joy in the kingdom. Moreover, now I want to go back, and I got about 10 minutes. So I'm going to go back up and get some things in the before he gets to this prayer, okay? In verse 5, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in street corners and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Prayer is not something that you, it's not for people, it's for God. It's not for men, it's for God. And when you want to make somebody think that you are a righteous person, and you go out and you go out into a public place especially, and you put on all your pompous clothes and you go out and you pray in public and so that people will see you. He says, behold, they have their reward. What is their reward? The praise of the people that they're trying to impress. The only reward they have is the praise of men. Are we more interested in the praise of men or the praise of God? Are we more interested in them being impressed, or are we more important to impress God? You know, obvious answer. But when thou prayest, and this really works, it's wonderful. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You know, we have a walk-in closet, and I've literally done this. I go in this closet sometimes, not often enough, but I go in there, and I close the door, and I turn off all the lights, and I get down on my knees, my head on the ground, and pour out my soul to God. It's amazing how these blessings come down. But he says, when thou enterest in, and it doesn't have to be a closet. My goodness gracious. You know, most of the time, prayer is, it is, first of all, it's not so much of your lips, but it comes from your heart. I try to pray every night. I'm in bed, closing my eyes, trying to go to sleep, and I meditate and I think upon God. And I ask him prayers for all of these that we have, that we've asked prayer for. I ask prayer for you. You know, I did this just here a while back. I went down the list of all the people. I can kind of see you here. Say, Lord, bless Sister Sylvia, bless Sister. And I prayed for every one of our deacons. I hope we're thankful, church, for our deacons. I am. I'm thankful for that deacon, too. But we're to, not so much in our closet, but it says, when thou hast shut the door, you know, this is a literal thing. You could do this. This is literal if you want to take it literal. You have a private place. You know, Jesus had a private place. You know that? You know, like you go up in the mountains when he's all alone. Go up in the mountains where there's nobody around. There's no distractions. There's nothing. And that's the main thing. It needs to be a one-on-one where you can just communicate with your Father. What kind of son is there that doesn't talk to their dad? He says, when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. Openly. Isn't that awesome? This is a promise. It's a promise. Give it a try. I know you have. But when thou prayest, use not vain repetitions. You know, people think it's God is impressed with your long prayers. He's not. You know, the greatest prayer in the Bible, 2 words, Lord, help. Lord, help. The sinner's prayer, you remember what the sinner's prayer is? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Say what you need. Give your petition. You know, you could say this model prayer here in about, let's see. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 20 seconds. I timed it. And I wasn't really rushing through that. I was looking at the clock because prayer is not a long thing. It's pouring out your soul to God and asking him to help you through all of your troubles. When thou prayest, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, this is an important point, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. He said, oh my goodness, brother, I don't know if he already knows, why do I need to ask him? You know? I mean, he already knows what I need anyway, so I'm just gonna skip prayer today. It doesn't work that way. It says over in the little book of James, he says, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you pray and you ask for things that you really don't. Sometimes we get mixed up about what we need and what we want. But he says, and you have not because sometimes you pray amiss to consume it upon your own lust. But he wants us to ask him, although he knows everything we need already. Do you think that prayer does anything? Huh? Well, I'll ask you this question. What have you ever prayed for your enemies? Have you ever prayed for those who really despitefully use you? Have you prayed for those that are mean to you? It's hard, isn't it? But you know why Jesus wants us to pray for those that despitefully use us, and why He wants us to pray for those that are doing things ugly to us? You know why? Because He wants us to get it out of our heart. It's kind of hard to be mean and ugly to somebody when you're praying for them, isn't it? So pray for your enemies. Pray that God will. I heard Brother Bill pray this prayer one too. He said, they asked me to pray at a prayer breakfast. Brother McKinney. And he said, I don't know what these people need. And he said, Father, I pray for all these men. If there's some of these men here that are walking contrary to God's will, I pray your chastisement will come upon them and that they will repent of whatever they've done. Got awful quiet in that room. But you see, we don't know what each one of us needs. But Father, I can pray God's blessings upon each one of you. And He knows what it is. I wonder if they ever asked Brother Bill to pray in one of their prayer breakfasts anymore. But anyway, after it was over, he got a lot of comments on his prayer. Because he didn't pray the traditional. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask. And then he goes into the model prayer after this manner.